The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm delighted to welcome a group of first-time TDs who are used to ridicule at this stage. It's a pleasure to welcome to the studio, as well as our own political nerd, Anorak, long-suffering with me on the Calling It podcast for the 174 TDs, political correspondent for Bauer, not just News Talk, it's the whole lot of them, isn't it now? Sean Defoe. And it's a pleasure to welcome Sinead Gibney, TD for the Social Democrats in Dublin Rathdown, newly elected. Albert Donal, Dolan, I should say, Fianna Fáil, newly elected TD. He had been Caoimhleach of the County Council there in Galway East. And last but by no means least, part of the Regional Independent Group, newly elected TD for what was Finney McGrath's old seat in Dublin Bay North, Barry Heenahan TD. You're all indeed welcome. So the first question to each of you, because I remember when I was elected in 1981 as the youngest TD in the Dáil back, what was it, more than 40 years ago, whatever it is, more than 50 years ago probably at this stage. I had no idea. I'd never actually been to Leinster House. I'd never been to Kildare Street. I didn't know what to expect. I was making it up as I go along, and I'm still doing that. Was it as you expected, Sinead?
Yeah, it has been to a degree. I mean, I suppose I had a lot of interaction with the Dáil in my previous roles. So, I mean, I think there was one year I was in front of 10 separate committees, 2022, in my previous job. So, yeah, I did know a lot about how it operated, which I think has been to my benefit and kind of hitting the ground running since I've become a TD. But of course, it is at the same time a completely unique environment. And there's a lot about it that you just cannot know until you get in there. And it's a great place to work. I love it. I mean, the staff are just adorable. The ushers and the catering staff and the bar staff, they're all just very friendly, make you feel at home straight away. I think probably the thing that that I say when people ask, how are you getting along? Like, it is just incredibly demanding, you know, and I know there is a sense within the public that politicians are skivers and we do nothing and all of that. But it is, you know, really long days with a lot of weekend work as well. So it is just very, very demanding. And I'm maybe, as a new TD, one of the older new TDs, I'm nearly 50. So, you know, you got to just get the balance right. And I suppose over the course of my career, I've learned how to do that. And I'm putting that into practice now, making sure that I do get time with my family. And
what would you say is the balance in your working week between constituency work, whereby constituents approach you about any topic, or we'll say parliamentary duties, committee work, legislative policy research? Is it a 50-50 or what would it be?
No, it's not. It's certainly not right now a 50-50 for me. It may be in time, but I think the parliamentary work has been more demanding of me, and there has been other, and you know, media work and that kind of thing, which means that then there's less opportunity to do some of the in-constituency work that you would like. And of course, it just encroaches into the weekend as well. So it's not quite 50-50. And I think, like, it is one of the hardest balance to get right.
So it's more parliamentary duties.
It is more parliamentary and party as well, you know. But I think that really has to vary between constituencies. Like, for example, in my constituency of Dublin Rathdown, like, there's
It's the wealthiest constituency in the country.
But not as homogenous as people might expect.
I know, But you'd have less demand for medical cards and things like that, perhaps.
Yeah, but also, like, I suppose one of the things that people might not appreciate is you don't have a social or a local media, really, in a constituency like Dublin Rathdown. So you do, like, your voters will see you more at a national level. And I suppose as a TD, I want to be very clear with voters that as TDs, we are supposed to be dealing with national policy, not with potholes. That's for councillors and for the council and local authority in your area. So what I do is I try and connect people to the people or the places that they need to go to resolve those issues, and then ask them to come to me when they have, you know, national policy issues that I can help represent their voices on the Dáil floor.
Albert Donal, how have you found it?
It's been a roller coaster. An incredible experience, honour and privilege of a lifetime. But I guess for me, what has stood out the most is really the autonomy of the role. In that first few months while we were waiting for committees to get going, it's really what you make of it. And I'm sure yourself, looking back on it, you can testify to
that. No, you're actually self-employed.
You're completely.
You think you're employed, but you're self-employed.
Yeah. And it's completely up to you how you, I guess, see value in the work you do and maximise your efforts. So like Sinead mentioned, you have that national work, you have your constituency work. For me, covering Galway East, you know, comparing it just even to a Dublin constituency you could cover in 3 kilometres squared and you could be anywhere in 15 minutes. In my constituency, to go from Headford to Portumna could take an hour and a half driving. So my constituency requires a huge amount of time on the road. And really, my split at the moment is, you know, I'm in Dublin Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I don't get to go
home.
So
I used to come up on, before I was sort of involved in front bench stuff and that, to come up on a Tuesday morning, go home on a Thursday night. But I'd take in meetings on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's basically
the
way
Monday,
I'm doing it.
Monday, Friday, Saturday, I'd have meetings, whether it's common or branch meetings and all that kind of thing. Clinics all Friday evening, Saturday evening. Do you still do clinics?
I do clinics, yeah. I do them generally on a Saturday because I find that that's when people will be available to come and meet me if they need to raise an issue. So I'm trying to split it into, you know, basically four quadrants of the constituency.
What resources do you have? When I started, I was in an office with five people, people like Enda Kenny and different people, and we had one secretary between two. So you'd actually, and when they went on holidays, it was chaos in terms of, you know, you'd have dictaphone tapes and you'd be handing them in and so on. It was desperate. There was no constituency office. Now it's Rolls Royce, isn't it? What staff do you have?
Yeah, so every TD is allocated, I guess, an AA, so that's an administrative assistant, and a PA, so that's a parliamentary assistant. So it's completely at the discretion of the TD as to whether those people are located in Leinster House or whether they're located in the constituency.
Both.
Okay. So both of my staff.
And do you have a room to yourself, an office to yourself?
You have an office to yourself in the Oireachtas, yes, yeah. And like obviously in between committees and in between Dáil speaking time, you know, that's where you'll do a lot of your prep work. And that's where I guess I can handle a lot of my constituency work from that office as well, where I'm able to communicate
with constituents.
And so therefore
the routine thing in rural Ireland would be to have a constituency office. Is it in Athenry in your case?
Well, I haven't opened it just yet, but I'm getting there.
Okay, that's a bit tardy. But anyway, so how do they get in touch with you? Because like I saw the constituency office as revolutionary, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you could call to someone as opposed to a clinic or whatever. Like, so basically you'd put your AA there and you put your PA in Leinster House, or would you put them both in the constituency?
I think it's good to have both your staff working together because they'll have synergies and they'll find efficiencies to get things done quicker. So both of mine are going to be stationed in Galway. But what I think is really important is like TDs and representatives are more accessible now than we've ever been. Somebody messages me on TikTok or Instagram, emails me, texts me, phones me, WhatsApp.
Tell them to go to hell, you're busy.
No, but Ivan, like this is what's really important is that we are accessible and we can get an answer to people quicker now than probably it might have taken back in the day. I actually had this conversation with my staff about like maybe when you had started, was it all letters or how did it work? That takes a lot of time of going back and forth, whereas we can hit off an email really quickly and try and get a response back
to people. But that doesn't mean the government is going to respond. You know, your planning officer mightn't have an answer for you in real time.
Well, that's all dependent on relationships and to establish that.
So Barry Heenahan, you actually are probably one of the youngest insofar as you came more or less from college to the council and to the how have you found? Was it as you expected?
Albert actually beats me by 3 months for the youngest. But
listen,
it's been a great experience, great honour, and I'm very lucky to represent North Dublin. It's a mad experience. I suppose with any other job I had, you don't really have 10,000 eyes looking at you in your first few weeks, especially with the roller coaster we had in my first start
at
it all.
Because you're both in opposition and in government, aren't you?
No, I'm supporting the programme for government as an independent TD.
But you can vote whatever way you like at times,
on
too.
On stuff
can't
that's
you?
In the programme for government, I'm committed. But other things, I will use my independence.
Okay, I'll wind this all up later. But just tell me, how is you know your divide between constituency work and parliamentary work?
Well,
and
my number's online. Ivan, and it's really good because
your mobile
reach,
number,
and it's constantly
big
going.
Mistake.
Well, do you know what?
Yeah. You have to end up blocking people.
I'd argue that because I want to be as accessible as possible. All politics is local, and just as Albert said,
I'd say someone was pissed out of their mind at 4 a.m. and decided to give Barry a call.
That's all right.
I'll answer, but
I'll give them a call back 8 a.m. the next morning, and normally they say, "Oh, sorry about that."
Okay, so was there anything that you didn't expect?
I didn't expect the great achievements when you can actually get things done. It's a lot easier to get stuff done as a TD than it is as a councillor. I suppose when you send an email to a certain state body as a councillor, you might take 3 weeks to reply. When you send an email as a TD, you get a response a lot quicker. You can help people a lot more. But I think one of the things you said about getting medical cards and getting
constituency work,
you will not be able to get someone something that they aren't entitled to. But a lot of people don't know what they are entitled to, and that's the benefit of my team.
It's all like civic citizens' information.
Well, I suppose that's what we are, public representatives, and I'm really there to help people in North Dublin have as good a life as possible. If they're entitled to a grant, I'm going to help them get it there. I'm very lucky to have a great team around me. I have Michael, I have Ellie. Ellie worked for Finian. I have my brother, Eamon, and I have Tracy. Tracy has 33 years experience.
Well, you needn't name check your whole family.
Oh, but they have. They're brilliant, brilliant team.
Okay, you're starting to sound like Michael Healy, right? Sean, I've, like in any job, you know, when you started News Talk, you were average enough. The point is this, that...
some would say I never changed.
Well, you're learning a bit about TV as well. But the point I'm trying to make is that have any of these newbies made a real impression on you, a cynical hack up in the gallery?
There's a few that have. And in fairness, the ones in studio have been some of the ones who have been getting an awful lot of headlines in the first few months. But we've talked to them. If you look at some of the ones who have performed best, I think Rory Hearn of the Sock Dems, it's been, you know, a lot of them have been ones who have maybe had a public profile in the past or are very good with the media performances. He's been very vocal. He's their housing spokesperson now. And you see him out there a lot. Some of the new TDs as well for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are the ones who maybe were senators. So Catherine Arda, I think, has been quite good and quite vocal. And she's pushing the bill for changing the rules around insurance for cancer survivors. At the moment, that bill is progressing through. And then you've got a few more first-timers. James Gagan, I think, has been quite good for Fianna Gael. He's been very vocal, at least very out there in the media. Barry Ward has been out there an awful lot as a Fine Gael performer. And then there's others. I mean, the difficult thing with assessing this far in, Ivan, is how long it took to set up committees. Because Oireachtas committees are where you really find out what a TD is like and what they're made of. And they were so late in getting set up that we're really only getting our teeth into them
now. Tell me this, is there much collegiality, do you think, in the Dáil? In other words, you know, within the constituency, you are in competition for votes, but then you have a common cause to improve the lot of your constituency. Or do you find the older TDs are welcoming, or who do you think you are, sort of, you know, wet behind the ears? Like, do you think there's a welcome, or is it a hostile place to go into?
I don't think it's, I wouldn't call it a hostile place. Maybe the guys around me will say something different. But like, I have always found with TDs, even in other parties, they might skin each other on the floor of the Dáil. But if you run into them in the corridor afterwards, they're having a pint or they're going for a cup of coffee after. It's not quite as knife in the back as maybe knife in the front.
Or just throw that at anyone, like, has it been more welcoming or whatever? Like, you know, or
it's,
not?
Yeah, like it's on the Dáil floor, obviously it's very combative and that's tough. And I think for me, like, there's kind of a level of cynicism sometimes in the government lines that I really was quite surprised at. Like, I know there's spin. I know they present one thing to the public and one thing to the opposition perhaps, but it's quite deep. But I do find, yeah, absolutely, when you're passing by people in the corridor, when you're around people otherwise, there is a huge amount of, like, people get, like, you have to have a certain dynamic in that forum, and then otherwise you just have to get along with people and work with each other. And I think the committees are a great way to actually start to get to know people from the, you know, opposing side, be it opposition or government, in a bit more of a working relationship, which I think is very helpful overall to establish that collegiality across the board.
Basically, a lot of your, you know, I always say when I'm training people, perception is more important than the reality. If you are of a high profile and a strong recognition factor, it's even better than word of mouth. And I think that really applies in Dublin, especially. How have you found the media to deal with? Is it the local media? Like, obviously, the huge change in my time, you know, people used to interpret what they thought about things, about what, you know, Stephen Collins or Chris Glennon thought about things. Now social media, people are directly communicating to their voters. Is it social media? Is it traditional media? How have you found dealing with the media?
It's a balance. It's a balance between, you know, like for me, it'd be like, you know, your Galway Bay, Connacht Tribune, Toome Hurl. These are our local ones in Galway East. So that's who I'd be dealing with a lot to get that local news out there. And, it, you know, it's amazing still when you go on the radio, the amount of people who are listening, who are still tuned in, that want to hear what's happening. And simultaneously, I'd be really active on Instagram and TikTok, and I get a huge amount of engagement.
So how many followers would you have on your socials?
I'd have about 8,000 on Instagram and about 6,000 or 7,000 on TikTok.
Okay.
In around that,
Because Barry, before you ever got to the Dáil, you were a social media phenomenon.
Yeah, well, I worked with TG Cahir, so I was a content
creator. Even did this celebrity, was it a dating program?
Listen, that was before,
like, you were shameless, actually.
That's before I knew I was going to be a TD. But Ivan, just go back on what you said about the biggest shocks and just what Sinead said there. A lot of things get done in person, and politics is all about the art of people and getting those engagements. So I think the relationships that I've built up now in 6 months, they're the things that you can get really done. If there's a minister, go up to them after. if you're going to be nice to that minister, they're going to be good and help you in your constituency. So that's a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, and I'm happy with how things have gone so far.
And on social media, tell me the story. Because you actually in the local elections made a big breakthrough there.
100%. Yeah, the social media aspect is a double-edged sword. You're putting yourself out there to be recognised, but you're also putting yourself out there to get a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
But sure, look, if you didn't like abuse, you shouldn't become a politician.
Right.
You know?
What platform do you find most effective?
For getting out there is actually Instagram and Facebook. I think people have genuine profiles. When you go onto TikTok, user 747 is going to be trolling your video, you know?
Yeah. And sort of what sort of would you think be... Because I was speaking to one TD and she said she had 17,000 on Facebook. This was in the last Dáil. What would you consider?
Well, see, I actually deleted my Facebook a long time ago. I've re-brought it back in because it reaches an older crowd. So the thing about it is, I think... Instagram is very, very good.
So you're quite ageist in your approach to this.
My new Facebook has a good following, and it's good. All the Facebook groups, the community groups.
So you don't want oldies to vote for you, really? They're not cool enough. Okay, and in terms of... Okay, so whether you get re-elected, you're all going to seek re-election, are you?
Yes.
Okay, right. So what does success... Like, I say this all the time to people. If you don't have a definite plan, what does success look like? So it could be 10,000 votes in the next election. It could be getting a particular private member's bill done, or it could be making an impact on a particular area, be it Gaza or whatever. I want to ask each of you, what does success look like if we're now in 2029 for Sinead Gibney?
Topping the poll, first and foremost, and also a really well-developed branch in Dublin Rathdown for the Social Democrats. So this was the first time we'd been on the ballot for voters in the general election in Dublin Rathdown. And to take the second seat was a huge success for us. So we.
Is there anything you'd like to do for the public?
Let me get there. Thanks, Ivan. Two-part answer. But really that development, because that is part of it, because when you develop a good branch, you are able to respond to the local needs of people in Churchtown, Ballinteer, Dundrum, Stillorgan, wherever, you know, when you have those local contacts. And we are getting
huge
response.
It's a bit self-serving. I mean, the question I was asking you, what would you like to have achieved?
Yeah, so I'm trying to get there, okay, if you would let me finish. Okay. Is that developed branch network. And then really, I think in opposition, what we can do is offer people solutions, well-evidenced solutions. I mean, sadly, the government doesn't take on board a lot of those solutions and continues to put forward the line that we aren't suggesting solutions. I really reject that. But what we can do is demonstrate to the electorate that we are a real alternative, a left progressive alternative that they can have in government. And I think the other thing that we can deliver is, a passage or a kind of a way to amend legislation that actually makes things better for people and on a more societal basis rather than what
really,
I would say.
Just to summarise that, Soc Dems getting into government would be success looks like that.
Well, that's our goal. And okay. I mean, like until you get a chance to govern, it's very difficult to make the difference for people that you really
aim
to.
So we're now in 2029, late in, what does success look like for Albert Dolan?
I think the legacy I'd like to leave behind is that I brought value for money to the forefront of public life and governance. So since
good luck with that.
Well, no, this is serious because since I was elected, I've asked over.
No, it's very serious.
No matter what policy change I make, this is the biggest change I could impact, and I've asked over 190 parliamentary questions just on public procurement information since I was elected. I've got the backing of the Fianna Fáil party now to bring forward a bill. It'll probably be after the summer now when I bring it forward. But essentially, we have an absolutely incredible process for public procurement, bringing it right up to the point of tender. And after that point, things simply aren't being tracked.
Are you talking about Bikegate here, or are you talking about the fact 2019 total public expenditure was 70 billion, is now 100 billion? Are you talking about the big picture or the small picture?
I'm talking both. Look at the bike shed. You're essentially talking that there was no reasonableness test performed when they were calculating that. When you look at the big spend, I uncovered with parliamentary questions that the HSE's public procurement since 2020 has gone from over 1 billion to over 4 billion. And that was actually in the Business Post over the weekend, the 91% increase in spending this year. And I understand the department probably still expects them to be on budget, but that is not going to happen. Mm. And I mean, nobody is reining in this spend. And I want
it is a very worthy and a timely approach. How are you going to actually get, the total number of public servants over a five-year period is increased by 50,000. So I'm listening to ministers who are doing arm wrestles with their department to get things done. you're a humble backbencher. How do you expect them to listen to you?
Well, it starts with this first piece of legislation, which is going to bring transparency to the spend afterwards. I actually have a dashboard built that takes every single purchase order off the website of every single state body. And I can tell you right now, name your county council, name your competent authority. I can tell you who they paid out the most money to in the last few years. So I'm going to be shining a light on all of this and bringing that level of detail.
I'll tell you this
is the one thing I can do, because I come from the background as a chartered accountant. This is the one thing that I can do that can really add value to Irish society. And most importantly, give people trust in politics again, because that is lacking at the moment. There's a lack of trust.
So, Barry, what does success look like for you in 2029?
Success looks like to me that the people in North Dublin are better off after I've been in there. I'm fighting for them consistently. The one thing that you've already mentioned to me before is the private wire legislation.
Yeah.
I secured it in the programme for government, the expedition of private wires. Now, I know the minister is going to be bringing it out in the next 2 weeks.
To explain to listeners, as of now, ESP Networks and EirGrid have a total monopoly on the transmission and distribution. You cannot get electricity connection. Yeah. This would allow people to build their own generating capacity and to service their local customers.
100%. So yeah, I did my master's in engineering on the waste to utilisation of data centres. We all know data centres are guzzling up our energy. But at the moment, other countries like Denmark, the UK, have given a private wire escape route for them to build their own green energy and fast track it to it. Now, it's very important that when private wires does come in, that it can also help eco-villages and people who have off-the-grid communities. Because at the moment, everyone knows we have huge electricity prices. If you can bring down electricity prices to a struggling family, that's the big thing that I'd like to do. And that's something that private wire legislation will help expedite.
Okay.
And Ivan, could I just answer that? Like, I think it's important to say that obviously if we had the numbers, there's a range of kind of policy priorities that I would have, like passing the Occupied Territories Bill with services, like protecting Irish neutrality, like improving workers' rights, which all relate to my portfolio. So I think it's important to say that, like, you know, as an opposition TD, you just are limited because you know you don't have the numbers to actually get those items passed, unless for some reason the government decide to back you all of a sudden. So I think it's important to say that it's a different dynamic that we pursue.
Okay. Sean, I'm going to get you to wrap up on this. I have to tell you, you don't know how lucky you are. When I was elected to the Dáil in June 1981, little did I know that there would be a general election in the subsequent November, and again when the budget collapsed, and again in June. And so, you know, at least you have clear sailing to 5 years. Like, that used
to
be.
No,
You do.
The independence
so is
secure.
Barry going to be first to go?
The independents are secure.
So, Sean, in terms of the churn, the number of TDs that don't get re-elected, and I suppose the longer the Dáil term, the more likely that'll increase. What do you think is the key factor for people getting re-elected?
Oh, for actually getting re-elected. Well, firstly, incumbency is a huge advantage, which was interesting this time around, given the amount of Fine Gael TDs who weren't there. The fact we saw 60 new TDs, which I think was the second or third highest ever, wasn't it? With 2011 being the highest. So just being there and being in the role. And it's interesting for first-time TDs, because you can never quite feel secure until you've gotten that second one, I feel. A lot of them feel that level of paranoia until you actually get a second over the line. But profile is a big one. You're a little bit at the mercy of the political tides. I mean, you've got a constituency where in Galway, for example, where Anne Rabbit is going to be gunning to make sure she gets back into the Dáil. Do you have the pressure of getting either two seats there or battling out one or the other? You know, none of the three in studio are in secure constituencies, if you call it that way. So look, it's always difficult building up a name. And there is a gap at the minute, because among the new TDs, and particularly in the government TDs, you only get heard in the Dáil so much. You will get heard in the committees more. You need to really try and make your name for yourself and build that bit of profile.
And they probably are better advised to focus not on the generality of things, but to get a big name, because then shows will ring you.
Yeah.
Because you're the...
Well, that's one way to do it. You know, become a Rory Hearn type who's always
expert
on about housing or whatever.
All right.
One thing just before we go, though, Ivan, because, you know, we predicted a lot of things right in November, including the two lads over there.
Okay, go on.
Who do we predict for that fourth seat in Dunrathdown again?
Tell me. Michael Fleming.
It was the second seat, by the way. So just to say that.
It was the second seat you got in the end.
I think Ivan named me as a worthy candidate.
I said that Fine Gael would get two, and probably the first two. But I also said that Fianna Fáil, who had been labouring in the vineyard for a long time, would make a breakthrough, which I think they did.
Shea Brennan.
So he did. But no, it was a great result. And in fact, like, that was exactly the same as Hayes in Dublin Bay South, that the Sock Dems really hit it well.
Except I took the second seat.
We wish you all well, which leaves us with the right to abuse you going forward.
Lovely.
Albert Dolan of Fianna Fáil for Galway East, Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats, Dublin Rathdown, and Barry Heenan, Independent Regional Independent Group, an independent independent, as he calls himself, in Dublin Bay North, and the totally independent Sean Defoe, who's making it up as he goes along. Thank you. Coming up,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.